You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear that there's a lot more to weight loss than what meets the fork. What meets the mind matters a heck of a lot, too. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am pumped that one of my favorite plant party products on the planet is sponsoring this episode. If you know me but at all, or have spent but a few seconds skimming my Instagram or my recipes, you'll know that Sun Warrior Plant Protein Powder is the Kanye to my West, the bees to my knees, the Wilson to my castaway. Okay, it's a product I wouldn't want to live without. Are you looking for a way to make your smoothies actually fill you up so you don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes after finishing your smoothie? Blend in Sun Warrior. Do you not want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder? Switch to Sun Warrior. Are you not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures and nasty flavors? Use Sun Warrior. There is a reason I blend Sun Warrior protein powder into every smoothie I make and bake it into every baked good I bake. And that reason is, well, there are many reasons. So head to the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/48 to read all about the many reasons and to find out how you can get started with Sun Warrior. My guest today loves eating plants as much as I do. Not that it's a competition or anything. Osha Key is passionate and skilled at helping women eat more plants to weigh less pounds. She's a certified nutritionist and health coach and the founder of the Lovetarian Diet, which, contrary to what I thought, means more than just eating heart-shaped cookies. Now, full disclosure here, I don't weigh myself, nor at all suggest that you do. In fact, I discourage you from stepping on a scale or even owning one. And in this body positive love society that we're becoming, which snaps for that, I mean, right? I feel like it's becoming a little taboo to talk about weight loss, but honestly, I do believe that it's totally a thing to both love your body and take healthy steps to help it fit into cute pants more comfortably. And that whole healthy steps thing is exactly what Osha believes in. And believe it or not, the first step she suggests for weight loss is actually in your mind, not in your meals. Osha, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the way in Bali, right? That's where you are, 12-hour time difference from where I am in New York.
Yes. Yeah,
so
that's
it's
right.
Nighttime for you and it's morning for me.
Yeah, good morning.
Good evening. So I'm excited because we're going to talk about something today that I haven't talked a whole lot about on the show before because it's kind of a sketchy topic, weight loss. It can really caused a lot of emotions in people. So I want to just set the stage here so you can prove to us why you can legitimately talk about weight loss because you've actually lost weight. Like you're not just talking about it arbitrarily. You've lost 40 pounds. So can you just start by telling us about your epic weight loss journey?
Yeah. So it all started with my health being so low back in 2009. Because I gained a lot of weight, I had a very stressful job, and I was literally like surviving on coffee and candy and takeaways. So I got really, really sick. I had chronic fatigue syndrome, backaches, and my immune system was so low, and I was just feeling really, really unwell. And I started looking for ways, and obviously I was also concerned with my look, so I wasn't comfortable the way I looked, so I wanted to lose weight. So I started really researching healthier ways because previously in the past, I have done a lot of dieting and weight loss, but I knew that this time my health was important and I didn't want to go like back and forth, you know, yo-yo dieting.
Right.
So that's when my journey really started. And it was kind of gradual. It wasn't like, you know, overnight.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I would change something in my diet, in my lifestyle, and I would lose like initial 10 pounds and then it would plateau for a while. Oh. And then I would change something again, whether in my diet or mostly it all starts with the mindset. That's what I believe. And then the physical changes would follow. So although it took a couple of years, but it wasn't like gradual, you know, every day I would lose half a pound. It doesn't work that way. It
was more like
instant and then plateaus for a while, then another, you know, like change internally would happen and that would manifest physically as well in my body.
Wow. Okay. I'm so intrigued to hear all these different changes that you made. You know, I've never heard somebody describe weight loss like that. Like I've never heard the, you know, I did something, lost a couple pounds, 10 pounds, and then I plateaued for a while. And then I did it again. I mean, you don't often hear that. You often hear like, boom, I just did stuff and lost all the weight and life was merry and it was easy and blah, 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 blah. So I'm really impressed that you took all these steps. So it was 40 pounds over how long then?
So it took me a few months to lose initial 10 pounds. I quit dairy and gluten for a while and the initial weight was pretty sudden.
Right.
And then I was still like trying and I was eating really well from Monday to Friday and I would indulge over the weekend. So it was kind of, I wasn't like my standard for my health wasn't that high, but then I changed the standard and like in 2012, I really like improved my diet and went on an almost raw food diet. And that's when I like, I think lost about 20 pounds in total.
Wow.
And then in 2012, I moved to Thailand and in 2013, I did like a weight loss challenge, like 90 day, really clean eating and exercising. And I reached my weight that I'm now kind of ideal weight. So I've been keeping it, yeah, since 2013. And it also, I can't like say that, okay, so once you reach this and so easy, obviously it all starts, you know, from within and with the mindset. So if something happens, like, for example, last year I was like going through some challenging situation and my life, I had to like move countries and reschedule a lot of my plans with my business and everything. So I got really stressed and I gained some weight again. So even though I was eating healthy, but because of the stress and obviously it affects the hormones and hunger and, you know, I would be like emotionally eating, trying to numb my emotions with chocolate. Even if you know better, doing like in a healthy way, but still it could manifest, you know, in the changes in the body. And I just had to accept it. And that was like another, you know, learning curve for me. But then I worked again on my mindset and I decided to set intention and decided how I want to live my lifestyle, how I want to look like. And then I went back to my ideal weight. So now I'm 58 kilos. So I have to convert it into pounds. So
that's hard math. Don't worry about it. But it's what your ideal weight. Well, okay, there's so much to unpack and dive into here. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something that was really interesting that you said you change your standards for your health or you, you know, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I mean that with our reality would always meet our standards. So for example, it doesn't apply only to weight loss or health. Even let's say like if your standard is to pay the bills, you'd always make sure to earn that amount of money that would pay the bills, but maybe not be enough to buy a new car or something else, you know, or if your standard is to date a certain kind of person, you would find a person, but not someone, something better. Or if your standard is to look a certain way, maybe you're comfortable with, I don't know, size 16 and you would find maybe you'll gain some weight, maybe you lose again, but you always keep that standard. So if you want to really create a huge shift, you have to change the standard. So you have to say, okay, this is no longer acceptable. And I'm not going to eat fried food. This is no longer my standard. I'm going to be the person who eats a different kind of food. Or I'm going to be the person who's consistently exercising.
Right.
Or someone who has a different standard for self-care. So I would take more time to rest and to have proper sleep. Because maybe previously I wasn't, you know, like prioritizing, it was more, okay, so I'll just drink coffee in the morning, I don't care even if I don't sleep enough, or I'll be just partying on the weekend, I don't care. And you have to change that standard for your self-care, and only then you'll see changes in the physical, you know, because your actions will follow that standard.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting. I mean, I never thought about it in that exact way. That's a really cool way of looking at it. So when you changed your standard or set a new standard, was that something that just hit you one day? Did you write it down? Did you list out what that meant? Like, what was there anything that you did to really like set that standard in stone, or was it just in your mind? Like, what, how did that work?
Yes, I think I first heard this concept from Anthony Robbins, and it really kind of created that moment of self-awareness where I had to get really honest with myself and kind of admit to myself that the reason I look the way I look and I feel the way I feel is because of the standard for my self-care that I currently have. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, so this is, I allow myself to eat these foods. I allow myself to not have proper rest. I allow myself to eat, you know, like candy or have too much caffeine. And I just got really honest with myself and I like admitted that, okay, if I want to change, I have to change that standard. So it was kind of like conscious decision and a moment of awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think if someone's listening, they could also kind of for a moment get really honest with themselves. And you don't have to go and tell everyone else if you're not comfortable, but just to yourself, just say, okay, I'm gonna, you know, drop the BS and just like, okay, this is the truth. Like the reason why I have what I have in my life is because of the standard that I have for myself.
Totally. And that can be a really harsh, you know, reality, a slap in the face.
Definitely.
But it takes so much guts to do that. I mean, when you take responsibility for your life, when you stop blaming other things and stop blaming other people and circumstances and all sorts of stuff, and you say, I am where I am, feeling the way I feel, looking the way I look because of me and just me, then both it's, you can feel a tremendous amount of guilt, but what I suggest people feel, and I assume you would agree, is pride. And in taking that first step, now you can make the changes. Because once you own up to the fact that you are where you are because of you, now you can go where you want to go because of you too.
Yes. And I really liked what you said. You mentioned responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's what's really powerful, because then you're indicating to yourself and to your subconscious, I'm actually in control. I'm not a victim to outside circumstances or to other people's opinions or what I have to do and what's my genetics or whatever, you know, we tend to blame for our, you know, our bodies, our health. It's actually, I'm in control. Even if I have fat genes, that was my excuse for years.
Yeah.
I thought like, oh, because my family is overweight and everyone looks like that. No one's fit in my family. No one's have ever exercised regularly. So it just must be my genetics. Whereas now the science of epigenetics shows that certain genes can be expressed or suppressed depending on the environment, which
really?
Is our actions, our thoughts, our frequency, like how, you know, what we like, also food, what we feed ourselves, both like in food and thoughts and people around us. So we have actually the power to activate or suppress certain genes.
Wow.
And even like setting the standard, you also have the power then to be attracted to different information, to different teachers, or you'll be inspired to take some action, maybe to try different recipes, or you'll start craving different foods. And whenever I felt like in my journey, whenever I made that internal shift for the standard of how I see myself, I would start craving different foods, or my appetite would be suppressed. You know, I would be maybe more hungry in the morning and I would not care about food in the evening, or I'd be so busy and excited about other things going on in my life that I didn't need to, you know, fill that inner void with chocolate or foods.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really important, I think, to remember that everything starts from within. So like our behavior, the way we eat or the cravings that we have, it's kind of just showing us what's happening inside. So it could be a great, really gift or indication that's, you know, just like kind of a messenger showing what's happening in your internal world.
Yeah, for sure. So essentially you're saying that, you know, extra weight could be kind of just seen as like a symptom, so to speak, you know, of other stuff that's happening in our mind and in our like lifestyle choices.
Yes, I'm a huge believer of that based on my experience and of like hundreds of women I worked with. And I, or even in my program, I have like a module where we go deep and really going deep and understanding what's the real reason behind carrying that excess weight. And it's never really that, oh, I like sugar too much. There's the reason behind it, why I like sugar so much. So we use a lot of times fat for protection, or it's kind of manifestation of shame. Or maybe we're just trying to fill that, as I said, inner void, that we're missing something in life and we're trying to fill that with food. And there's always, there's usually like 8 different categories of the reasons.
Can you tell us?
So these are the most common that I mentioned. So it's like protection, and another one is shame. And then there's, yeah, trying to fill that inner void. And sometimes, like, because something's missing in life.
Like if you're unfulfilled in your job or in your home or in your,
yeah,
you know,
on
social
your
life.
Relationship. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, like, maybe, like, you're in a different career or something like that.
Right.
And sometimes we feel that we're not good enough also.
Yeah.
So
we're not
you
worthy.
You may be dying and exactly not worthy of having that fit, hot body. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there's fear that we've been taken advantage of, like, or maybe that we had some traumatic experience. So there's another one with like store emotional trauma in our fat cells. So wow. These are the main reasons. Yeah. So once you unpack it, and usually it's a combination of 1 or 2 or sometimes 3, and some are more, you know, prominent than others. So once you really have that awareness and you understand it, then you can start shifting it and changing. Then you'll see that you, as I said, you have different cravings, and you'll start like being inspired to try different recipes or different diet, and then physical change follows as a result.
So how do you unpack the psychological, you know, underlying reasons that we might be carrying excess weight? Like, I mean, I feel like that's a really unique and not often spoken about concept, you know, for weight loss. We always think, oh, we got to lose weight. Like you said, I eat too much sugar, or I eat too many carbs at night, or I don't exercise enough, you know, like, so that's what people go to first when they're trying to slim down. But this whole idea that there's psychological reasons that our body might think being fat is in our benefit. So how do you become clear on those reasons?
So I have a huge like questionnaire. So these are the questions, because I believe we all have the answers in our bodies, and you just need to ask the right questions. Mm. So there's questions that will help you unpack all these reasons. So have you had any traumas, or how do you feel about your body? And it's like, yeah, it leads you to understanding these questions, these reasons, and also the limiting beliefs that keep you stuck in that. So for example, something that I mentioned before, that being fat is in my genes.
Right.
Or I'm not worthy of having this fit, hot body. Or I've always been this way. Or I'm not the kind of person who likes exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting that I've seen that it all can change. All these beliefs, they don't have a solid reality. This is just something that we've accepted as truth when we're kids or teenagers or like throughout the life. And usually these beliefs are just something that we hear from other people, and we accept it as truth, and we continue repeating it to ourselves, and it becomes a reality. But once you understand that it's not really set in stone, it's just kind of a concept in our mind, then there are processes that you can change it. You know,
right.
You look for evidence why this belief could not be true. For example, if there are people who lost weight with even fat genetics, quote unquote, it means that it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's some really interesting studies with identical twins.
Hmm.
So obviously they have exactly the same genetics. And depending on lifestyle, one twin could be eating, have sedentary job and eating kind of junk food. And another person is eating healthy and exercising. And one would be really fit, and another one would be type 2 diabetic.
Oh, wow.
So it's really interesting. It just shows like these studies, even like it makes sense to us. But once you see the example, okay, these are real life examples.
Mm-hmm.
It means it is possible. You know, if someone else could do it, you could do it too. If it's
totally
relevant for you, obviously. That's why I like sharing my story and my client's stories, because it shows, okay, other people have done it. It means it is possible.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you had lost weight, and then you mentioned again that you had gained some weight when you like recently, I guess, moved and had some stressful stuff happen. So, and you said that that was like a new learning experience for you. So when you went back and lost that weight again that you had gained, was it diet that you changed? Was it exercise? Was it the mindset? Like, you know, which of the three would you say is the most, I don't want to say important, but like which has the most benefit for you?
Yeah. So I believe that the key is really a combination of these three factors, which is nutrition, exercise, and mindset. So there's no one like shortcut. I think all three have to be addressed, the whole combination. And although all of them are important, I believe that first you really need to start with the mindset. Because if you just try to lose weight just through dieting, which I've done in the past really unsuccessfully, then, you know, the studies show that our willpower is limited. So you run out of willpower, you get really hungry, and then you tend to go back to your old habits and gain all the way back. So this is not really, you know, sustainable way. So that's why I believe that we should really start with the mindset. So for example, what I did, I decided, like, did some practices first thing in the morning, set an intention of how I want to live this day or what kind of person I want to be. So I would choose to be in the reality where I'm the person who eats this way, who eats it very healthily, who has the energy to exercise, who has cravings for this food. And you set this intention and you program your subconscious mind. And then you'll see that the actions will follow. So eating healthy and exercising will feel effortless. You'll be actually inspired to do these things.
So when you say you set an intention, do you mean like via meditation or affirmations or just like you wake up and you're like, I eat plants today? Like, what do you specifically mean by that?
Yeah, so basically there's a lot of different things, and I really love meditation, but what I meant then, what's been really like successfully working for me, is first thing when you wake up, between your, you know, between you're fully awake and still kind of sleeping. So that's a very powerful stage where you can really shift your mind and reprogram your brain. And what we talked before, that we are in control of our reality and we have this responsibility. So I would reinforce it with certain like affirmation, which wouldn't be that I'm trying to like force something or try and manipulate the reality, but I would say I choose to be in a reality where I'm fit, healthy, and have cravings for healthy food and have tons of energy for exercising and feel amazing about myself. A different wording every day, but this is kind of the foundation. And by saying I choose to be in a reality, you kind of remove the pressure of like forcing yourself to act a certain way. And I believe that kind of choose to believe, you know, that everything has already happened and all the choices are available to us. So it's not that I'm trying to force or manipulate or do something. I'm just tuning in into a certain reality where everything has already happened, where the fit OSHA already exists, you know. So that's what
I like that.
And it's really, really successful. And it's like really, really powerful because it removes that pressure. It removes that, you know, stress, and I just noticed that I naturally tend to crave different foods, and I, as I said, I have more energy, so I want to go to the gym instead of trying to drag myself to the gym.
It feels really light. First of all, I choose makes you feel like you have free will, you know, like you're like, you're choosing, you know, like it's your choice. Like no one's forcing you. So, and in the reality, I mean, it's like, this is, I choose to live this life, to be in this world, this real thing where I, you know, naturally crave plants, in my opinion, but we'll talk about diet in a sec, and, you know, have energy to exercise. And I, that just feels so light and positive versus waking up in the morning being like, okay, today's the day I don't eat any processed food and I work out for an hour. You know, like that's a totally different energy. And even as I'm just thinking it in my mind or saying it out loud here, one feels like, oh, okay, I choose to be in the reality. Like, you know, I don't know, it sounds really chipper and happy. And the other one like feels like very negative and depressing right from the moment you open your eyes.
Yeah. And it implies a restriction, right? Yes. I don't do this. I don't this. And it feels like heavy. And I've tried that a lot of times and it just doesn't work. Even if you like forced to stay focused for a few days or whatever, like then you just so stressed out by just diet or anything else in your life and you just don't want to continue. And another really important thing is that even if it doesn't work, even if you kind of fail, you know, if you like skip the gym or maybe you eat something that's not, you know, ideal, it's important not to say, oh, you see, like I failed again. It doesn't work. Like it just, I'm a failure. So instead of that, just approach yourself with kind of love and say, that's okay. This is the normal part of the process. You're just human. It's okay to fail, but you have amazing intentions. And the fact that you failed, it didn't go completely, you know, perfectly. It means that the process is working. So it's fine. It's a confirmation that you're on the right track.
Interesting.
So just confirming to your brain that it's actually, oh, so it's okay. It's not that you failed and now everything goes to waste, what you've been trying to do. It means, okay, so it's normal part of the process. So we've gone through that stage where you fail a little bit and then we can continue and next time it's going to get better. So I think this has been really empowering for me.
Right. To not like spiral and freak out and beat yourself up and say, you know, fuck it, I'm doing this, you know, eating all the chocolate.
I used to do like, oh, fuck it, you know, like I've already failed. So what the heck? Let's have the whole pizza and like bring that ice cream bucket, you know?
Right.
So it's way more powerful to say, okay, this is natural. Let's just get back to what we're doing. And I choose to be the kind of person who loves herself, even if it failed. And I choose to have better, you know, decisions tomorrow.
Yes. I like that. I choose to be the person that still loves herself, even when she... I wouldn't even call it a slip up, even when she indulges or even when, you know, whatever, chooses the not ideal choice. Like and that's how I talk to myself. Like, you know, if I go out with friends and I, you know, have a few fried chips, which is something that I don't normally eat or want to eat because it makes me feel awful. But sometimes I'm like caught up in the moment and I'll have a little. I say to myself, and I mean, I've beaten myself up in the past and what good does that do? So I just say, you know,
exactly.
I love myself. Like, it's fine. Like, I choose to let this go.
Exactly. And that's perfect what you're doing, I think. And, you know, it just means that if you eat fries or if you eat something like that's in front of you and everyone else is eating, that just means one thing, that, you know, you're human.
Right.
And that's totally normal. Like, you're not supposed to be like this perfection that, you know, just like perfectly enlightened being who has only like perfect choices.
Right.
It's normal to, you know, to be natural, to be human and just embrace that. And just do your best and approach it with love.
Well, it was really interesting. Earlier, you had said something about, you know, we only have so much willpower. And I'm curious, does this whole, you know, I choose to be in the reality that I, you know, eat plants and have energy to exercise, does that whole thing kind of combat a quote unquote lack of willpower or motivation? Is that how you were able to, you know, lose weight over many, many years?
So I feel that this actually eliminates the need for willpower. Because what willpower means that you don't want to do something and you force yourself to do something. Whereas this programs your mind and you'll naturally crave different foods and you'll naturally eat a certain way and exercise and sleep more or make other healthier choices. And it won't require any willpower. Because now there's one, I don't know if you had a chance to read it, the interesting book, Willpower Instinct.
No.
And they like a lot of studies, that it's really, a limited resource that we have. And once we run out of it, we tend to go back to what's familiar. So that's why, and all the decisions, especially like in the morning when you have to decide what you're going to eat, how you're going to exercise, what you're going to dress today or whatever, it requires all the small decisions requires willpower.
Right.
So in order to save our willpower for the things that truly matter, it's really good to have a routine and stick to doing the same thing every single day. That's another really important hack that I have. And when I follow the routine, it becomes really easy. And then you don't need any willpower. It's already kind of, decision has already been made, you know, prior to making that, you know, action. So even in that book, I think the author says, decide not to decide. So basically you set your routine so you know exactly when you're going to wake up, what you're going to do. So I like to wake up and meditate and then do like, well, before meditation, set my intentions and then, you know, do my morning rituals, which is like drinking lemon water with turmeric and then, you know, kind of tuning in with my partner. And this really sets, you know, like sets you on a good path for the day.
Right. I love that. I mean, I always say that you don't need willpower to brush your teeth, right? Like you don't ever like have to say, okay, today I'm going to brush my teeth. Like I can do it, but it's your part of your routine. It's a non-negotiable. And I think that, you know, to have success with your health, you have to make non-negotiables. You have to set Like my morning, for me, my morning apple cider vinegar green drink is a non-negotiable. It is going to happen no matter where I am, no matter what time I wake up, no matter what. And it sets me up for success. So I couldn't agree more, you know, to decide not to decide. Yeah, if you're leaving all of your healthy habits or healthy things that you do, actions up to choice every time you have to do them, oh my God, like you won't do them.
Exactly. Yeah. You do them for a couple of days and then, you know, so you have to be really like committed and set an intention, because in the beginning it will be hard. Before it becomes a habit, that might require some willpower. But if you stick to it long enough, 3 days, 4 days, 7 days, then it will become a habit. And then maybe once you're traveling, you're in a plane, you can't have it, you'll feel really weird and all.
Totally. Okay, so we've spoke about mindset, which you think is the number one important, you know, most important part about losing weight. So that's really about setting an, like I would say the biggest takeaway from that is setting an intention kind of before your eyes open in the morning, or like the, when they're fluttering open, set an intention that, that today you choose to live in a reality that you're going to kick some ass, essentially.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and loving, being loving to yourself, even if you, I'm not going to say slip up, but eat French fries or whatever. So we got the mindset. And then also we spoke about finding some underlying reasons that you're carrying excess weight, underlying psychological. So you had mentioned that you have a quiz or a questionnaire. Is that on your site that people can access?
Well, it's in two of my programs, Lovatarian Detox and Lovatarian Way. So this, like one program, Lovatarian Way, is a mindset program where I take them through all these exercises to help unpack these reasons and then kind of dissolve those limiting beliefs and those reasons. And Lovatarian Detox also has this mindset aspect, but it's also has nutrition training as well.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about nutrition, because I would say that's definitely an important part of shedding some pounds for sure. So when you talk about diet, I assume you're talking about eating plants.
Yes, I'm a big believer in a plant-based diet. And I believe this is like, I've done tons and tons of research and tried a lot of things on myself. And then I studied nutrition and became certified nutritionist. So I believe a plant-based diet is really the most optimal way to eat in terms of healthy body weight and feeling good about yourself and preventing disease.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to someone who believes the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So you also, though, talk about a Lovatarian diet. I've never heard of this. Is this something that, I don't know, just eating heart-shaped cookies?
Yes, or chocolates? No, this is really something I kind of created. Well, I've heard this word somewhere else. I didn't invent the word, but I felt like this really describes what I want to convey through my message. You know, it means, Lovatarian diet means eating in a way that's nourishing your body and your mind and your soul. So it means the healthiest foods for your body, the more healthiest thoughts for your mind, and the healthiest lifestyle choices and actions, you know, for your soul and for your overall well-being. And based on my, all the research I've done, like plant-based diet, you know, whole foods as natural as possible, it's the healthiest way to eat. So that's what I call Lovatarian diet.
I love that. So it's really a plant-based diet that you adhere to a plant-based diet and recommend for your clients that you help lose weight, also a plant-based diet.
Yes.
And do you put any restrictions on or pay any attention to like nuts or oils? Or when you say plant-based, do you mean strictly vegan, or do you mean like there's some wiggle room for some fish? I'm just curious what you found to be the most efficient and effective for weight loss and sustainable weight loss.
Yeah, so some of the clients, like they choose to incorporate a little bit of the animal products. But I believe I myself, I'm a vegan, although probably 99%, because sometimes something can slip and unintentionally. So I don't try to be so super strict, but I intentionally, I would never, like I haven't eaten meat since 2010. And dairy can slip every now and then. But yeah, I would normally eat a vegan diet.
Okay.
And one of the things that's really important is balancing blood sugar levels. Oh. And it's not just about how much sugar you eat. It's more about fat. So, and people think that, you know, like, ooh, if I want to lower blood sugar levels, or like sugar is really bad, or even food is bad. However, we all need sugar. Even if you don't eat any sugar, your body would convert like the carbs or proteins or fat that you eat to glucose to have energy. Mm-hmm. And even people who fast for 4 weeks, just do water fasting, they still have blood sugar. Otherwise, they would just simply die. We can't survive without blood sugar. So sugar is not really an enemy. The blood sugar swings are.
Oh.
And insulin swings. That's what, you know, what's the culprit for all the disease and diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's like lots of studies by Dr. Neil Bernard. Probably you've heard of mm-hmm. him. Like he has like reverse diabetes program. So it's basically a combination of sugar and fat that creates this problem. Because, you know, there's like these fruitarians who eat only fruit. So that's tons
right.
of sugar.
Yep.
And they're all kind of like skinny and really fit. So it's like, I was like, when I started doing my research back in 2009, I was really like surprised. How come like this doesn't make sense? But if you just eat sugar, it goes to your cells and it's used for energy, and especially if you exercise, and that's completely fine. However, if you have too much fat flowing in your bloodstream, and especially saturated fat from animals, there's this all this sugar also circulated in your bloodstream, but it can't go to cells and can't be used for energy because the fat covers the cell membrane.
Hmm.
And that's why all this sugar stays in your blood, and that's why pancreas have to release extra insulin, and that's where all the blood sugar problem starts, and then you have a crash, low energy. And eventually, if you continue on the cycle, you get type 2 diabetes. So
right.
it's really the animal fat, and there's like so much science to back it up. And I really encourage people to look up, like, if, don't take my word for it. Just do some research, Dr. Neil Bernard and nutritionfacts.org and other doctors that like Dr. Joel Furman and mm-hmm. that really like share this, you know, studies and scientific evidence that this is what's actually what's happening. So I still believe that we should consume healthy fats, that's for sure. So I love avocados and nuts and seeds. But oils create a lot of problems also, because especially if you have tendency to have, you know, blood sugar swings or like, you know, problems. So I try to avoid oils and just have my healthy fats from whole food sources. Like
okay.
I really love avocados and nuts and seeds. And yeah, and it's important, like if you really have problems with weight and just low energy, to avoid these high fat, high sugar combinations.
Okay, so got all that with the blood sugar, how it's important, you know, to manage your blood sugar for weight loss. So, I mean, in general, I just think that eating more plants does help you naturally balance your diet, because you're cutting out, by eating more plants, you're eating less crappy food, and it's just a win-win-win. But are there specific sort of like tricks or strategies eating plants that you found to be extra successful for weight loss, other than just like eating a plant-based diet?
Yes, definitely. So one of the things that's really important, I think, is to focus on nutrient-dense foods.
Mm.
So instead of trying to figure out like have as little calories or as much calories, just forget about that and just focus on the things that have the most vitamins, minerals, antioxidants. So that would be leafy greens. I'm a huge believer in greens. And I have green juice and green smoothie every single day. And just consuming as much of this like chlorophyll and all these like minerals, iron, calcium, magnesium, that's really, really important for your health. So that's really important. And also eating kind of all kinds of different color veggies, mm-hmm. orange, you know, like pumpkin and carrots for better carotene, and red colorful veggies, and all this kind of variety. I think it's really important, because by eating different kinds of like veggies and fruits, we really get a lot of nutrients. And eating seasonally, I think it's a really good strategy as well, because it's the freshest food and has the most nutrients. It's freshly picked. So that's really important. And focusing also on, you know, berries and something that has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties and antioxidants. So that's really important. And looking like changing also that mindset around food, like looking at food as a source of nourishment. And
mm-hmm.
even when you eat and when you focus on, oh, this is so good for my skin, or this has so many antioxidants, this is, must be so nourishing to my body, and this is so good for my gut health. Even having these thoughts, I feel like it really affects how your body can absorb these nutrients. Obviously, this may sound a little woo-woo, it's not scientific, but I believe, really, I believe in energy. And I believe, like, if you do the other way around, if you're eating, let's say, a chocolate cake, and then you're, like, guilty about it,
right,
then you would have digestion issues. And I have this, like, experience when you're really guilty about it, and you're, like, beating yourself up, but still eating it, and then you'll feel bloated and have digestion issues. So even in a situation where you get to eat that, you know, chocolate cake, whether it's like birthday party or something, just choose to enjoy it and embrace it and just focus on maybe the nutrients that it has. Ooh, chocolate has a lot of magnesium. This must be good for my bone health, you know, or something like that. Just focus on the positive.
I've had that complete experience with my thing is more like I said, like chips or French fries. And I've definitely had experiences where I've said to myself in advance, I'm going to have some fries and I'm going to feel fine. And I do. And then I feel fine. Mm-hmm. And it's because I chose. I mean, I know that sounds totally whacked out, but it's happened to me time and time again where I've chose, you know, that I'm going to have the fries and it's going to feel fine. I'm going to digest them. All is going to be well with the world. And then it happens versus I've had many other times where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have the fries. And then I feel guilty. And then I feel like shit.
Yeah. Cause you command your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like, you make a command to your body and your body, you know, would react and would respond in a way that you want. Because if you give these emotions that, oh, I'm feeling guilty and something's wrong, the body's like, oh, something's wrong. Okay, let's make it wrong, you know?
Totally.
Where it's like, oh, this is totally fine. This is like so nourishing. This is pleasurable. The body would need to catch up. Oh, okay, so this is nourishing. Okay, let's better absorb all the good nutrients in it, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, so you can actually have the power to command.
Take charge. I love it. So when you say nutrient dense foods, let's just go back to that for a hot sec. What does that mean? Because I feel like that word's thrown around a lot, and I'd love your clarification of what nutrient dense means.
Okay, so let's focus. Like, it means that it has as much nutrients per calorie.
Right.
So let's focus on like exact examples. So that would be leafy greens like spinach, kale, chard, dandelion greens. Then all these veggies like carrots and pumpkin and broccoli and all cruciferous vegetables, cabbage, cauliflower, peas,
beans,
all kinds of. Yeah, well, basically all of them are, most of them, like maybe like potatoes are a little bit not so, you know, dense in nutrients. But most of these like fresh veggies are really, really nutrient dense. And also in like fruit families, like berries are extremely high in antioxidants. They're so good for you, for your gut health and for your skin and just overall well-being and your immune system. So now it's, I think it's the season. So you should eat as much, you know, strawberries as possible and all other berries.
Right. The reason to eat a plant-based diet is because all, like most plants are so nutrient dense, but it really just means when you eat a plant, you're getting the biggest nutritional bang for the buck. It's just jam packed with nutrients.
Exactly.
I mean, you can even see it in a little blueberry or, you know, like it's a little blue thing. Mm. And you know that what's making it blue are all these amazing antioxidants. Like it's literally nutrient dense. That little bloob is like jam freaking packed with the good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's what I mean by nutrient-dense food. And like unprocessed as much as possible. You can blend it in a smoothie, maybe lightly cook it, but not like fully fry it and just, remove all the nutrients.
Okay, so we hit the mindset. We hit the plants. Mm-hmm. Let's talk briefly about exercising. I mean, is that fits into it too, right?
Yes. So with exercise, I truly believe that consistency is key. And just having some sort of regimen. And I don't believe there should be like one type of exercise. Because some people love going to the gym. Some people hate it. If you hate it, there's a chance you're probably not going to stick to it. And I've also had experiences where I kind of quit gym for a couple of months and did yoga instead. And it didn't affect my weight as much. So maybe I was like burning less calories, but I would be as a result eating less. Because the body, you know, sets the standard for the weight. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So just find an exercise that you love.
Yes. And it's okay to switch every now and then because I get bored with gym sometimes. So I need a break and I'll do more yoga or walking or something. But I think the most important thing is just to move your body. And I aim to move my body like for at least 1 hour a day, whether it be gym, walking or yoga, or something, because I believe it's not just for weight loss, but for overall health, for balancing mm-hmm. blood sugar levels. That's really important, especially after, you know, after eating a bigger meal. It's really good to go for a walk. That really helps to balance that blood sugar. And just overall, like your hormone balance and sweating is really important. That's good for your skin and just removing the toxins. So I believe like whatever works for you, you should have some sort of like a regimen where you exercise.
Just move your body every day. Absolutely, 100%.
Yes, but also don't leave it to chance. Like, oh, maybe I'll feel, see how I feel tomorrow. Maybe plan a week ahead and have a schedule.
So, okay, we got this down. We got plants, we got move our body every day, and we got the mindset. And I think a lot of people listening to this podcast already have the plants pretty much down, or at least are moving in a direction that the plant thing is happening. I think for the most part, it's not that challenging of a concept to, you know, move your body every day in a way that you love. We've spoken about that too. So would you say that if people have those two components kind of locked in place, that if they're still struggling to lose a few extra pounds, that the mindset is worth really looking at?
Yes, I truly believe that there's always something deeper. So whether it's, and a lot of times it would be the way you see yourself. So your identity, you get stuck in the way that you see yourself, and whether you, if, even if you lose some weight, you tend to go back to your old weight because that's something that your body is familiar with. Oh. So you really need to prepare your mind for that change.
How? You just described me where I, you know, I've hit a set point where my body's comfortable. I'm comfortable. We're chilling. But, you know, I wouldn't mind mm-hmm. losing, let's say 5 pounds, 3 pounds, which on my small frame, that's like, it's enough to, you know, whatever. I would like that. So, but I feel that every mm-hmm. time I do lose, you know, I don't weigh myself, but I'm just talking like based on pants. You know, the pants get a little yeah. looser. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. baby, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden they go back to the same exact places they were, which is exactly what you just described. So for me, this is a selfish question. How do you mm-hmm. redefine your, you know, self-image or, you know, how do you finally get to that place where like you don't keep gaining back the 3 freaking pounds that you would really like to get rid of?
Yes. So that all comes down to changing your identity, which is not so, you know, necessarily easy.
That?
You can't get it done in a day.
Okay. I'll just go change my identity. I'll call you later.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll change. I'll just be that fit person from Instagram, you know?
Right.
But one of the things is what we already covered, that setting that intention. I choose to be in a reality where I am the person who does this or that. So that already programs your mind to be a different person and makes you more familiar with the new. Because it does require a huge change. You know, it's, you change how you see yourself. So sometimes it would need a lot of focus. So I've done something like in January, I took a week off from all the gadgets and I was just focusing on the changes that I wanted to make, because I knew that in order to move further with my business and I wanted to be fitter and I wanted to feel better, that I needed to change my identity. So I actually took a week off and I was just practicing every single day, doing lots of meditation and really doing lots of exercises for self-awareness and setting these intentions and really, really focusing on it and really like visualizing. Visualization is another great tool. Mm-hmm. Visualizing how I want to look, how I want to feel,
right.
how I want to stand in the world, how I, what kind of message I want to have, what kind of person I want to be, and really start then visualizing it, but not just like in your mind's eye, but really feeling like that new person.
Right. Yes. Feeling yourself living life as that new person with the jeans a little loose or whatever.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's one like little hack, the question that you could ask. Whenever you face the decision, you know, that you need to make, for example, what should I order at the restaurant for dinner? Mm-hmm. You can ask yourself, what would Talia, who's really fit and she has loose jeans and she really feels amazing about herself, what would that Talia order for dinner?
Oh.
And you'll notice that you get the answer instantly, you know, because your body already knows. You have all the, you know, the answers available to you. It's just a matter of asking the right question.
Ooh.
Or if you're in a grocery store, what store, like what would that person, what would Osha, who has the highest standard for her health and who's really fit and strong and confident, what would she choose to buy? And
right.
wouldn't it be cookies? probably be apples, bananas, and maybe some broccoli.
Mm.
And that just kind of puts you into that state and where it's like, ooh, okay, I am that person.
I love
that.
So
that's one little hack that helps. If you do it over and over, it becomes a habit, and then you'll notice that you don't need to ask yourself anymore. Unless then you get stressed, life gets in the way, then, you know,
you have to challenges go back. Happens,
then you go back and use these tools. So to sum it up, just setting intention and in the morning or during the day, focusing on your goal, one thing at a time. Maybe if you want to change your body, so just dedicate this week focusing in the morning and in the evening on visualizing and setting that intention. And then asking this question, what would that person, what would that version of me who has the highest standard for her health, who's really fit, strong, what would she choose in that situation? So that's been really helpful.
I love that. That kind of gets me giddy. I mean, it's again, it's not forcing yourself or restricting yourself or anything in that ballpark whatsoever. It's like, what would the highest version of myself want? What does the true me, the best, you know, version of me want? What would help me be the best version of me? And that's so much more exciting and empowering than being like, well, I read that if I eat lima beans, I'll lose weight and I'm going to do that even though I don't like lima beans. Like, that's not going to help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you take control. Then the hard part could be challenging to act on that decision, but then you know that it's up to you. You have the power to choose that answer or the other one. And whatever you choose, that's fine. It's just you have to, you know, you'll get the results accordingly.
Yes. Okay. So let's ask you, Osha, a few questions because you're asking me and my highest self some questions. I'm going to ask you, do you have a favorite plant party restaurant? I know right now you live in Bali, so it could be in Bali, but you've lived in Thailand. Are you from England originally?
No, I'm from Lithuania originally, but I lived in London.
You lived in London.
Yeah, Thailand. Yeah.
Okay. So somewhere throughout the world, what's a great restaurant that serves plants that you love?
Right now, it's called Sayuri's Healing Foods. That's in Bali, in Ubud, and it has the best veggie bowls ever. Mm. Like, really amazing, like fresh and steamed veggies with beautiful dressing. So nourishing, so colorful, amazing. So I just love that place.
What's it called?
Sayuri's Healing Foods.
How do you spell that?
Sayuri.
Okay, cool. We will link that in the show notes because that sounds awesome. And I know a lot of people actually go to Bali. Bali's very hot right now, literally.
Yeah,
and
there's so many amazing healthy cafes. It's like so
I know.
Good.
Every time anyone goes there and like journeys, you know, shows it on Instagram, it's just like acai bowl and plants galore and yoga, of course.
Oh, yes.
Lots of yoga.
All the food is so Instagram worthy.
Yes. So what is your favorite plant to eat?
I really like avocados.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not one, but avocado, broccoli, and pumpkin combination is just magical.
What? What do you mean? What do you do? How do you eat that?
Just steam broccoli, steam pumpkin, or roasted pumpkin, even better. So roasted or steamed, and some sliced avocado and a little bit of sea salt or Himalayan salt. So good.
So good. Awesome. That's a very unique combination. Mm. I love it though. I would just do sweet potato instead of pumpkin because I'm addicted to sweet potato.
Sweet potato is really good too, I must admit. Yeah.
And with avocado especially. So what is your most used kitchen tool?
Blender.
Uh-huh.
Blender, I would say. Yeah.
For
smoothie
sense.
Bowls and green smoothies. Yeah. I couldn't live without it.
Okay. And what's a book that's inspired you in some awesome way?
Ooh. the book that inspired me. What comes to mind is The Parallel Universe of Self by Frederick Dodson. He talks actually a lot about changing your identity. That's what we covered a little bit today.
Yeah.
That's not a plant-based book. That's not like anything about nutrition.
No,
it's
that's
more about
fine.
Mind, how to change. So that's called a Parallel Universe of Self.
Wow. The Parallel Universe of Self.
Yeah, it works. And it has also lots of practical steps.
Cool. Well, speaking of practical, I know that you have some programs and practical stuff that you can offer people if they want to dive deeper into all of this stuff. So where should everybody go to learn loads more about you and what you do and your Lovetarian diets and everything OSHA?
Yes. So my main website is becomethebestofyou.com.
I like that.
So where they can actually download my free ebook, Mastering Weight Loss. So where there's some also some practical steps and exercises that they can do to uncover some of the reasons maybe that holding them back and just start on a healthy journey.
Great.
And if someone's really ready to dive in and change their lifestyle and really understand these underlying reasons behind carrying excess weight, so I have the program Lovetarian Detox, which is a 3-week whole foods, plant-based diet kind of detox program.
Oh.
Fasting is just whole foods, natural. So it has nutrition training, detox protocol, like 56 plant-based recipes that are good for weight loss, and also mindset training. So
great.
Where we undercover like the reasons that are holding you back, and then you work through them during the course.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I think this was a very unique approach to weight loss. I hope that people, you know, feel excited and that it's not just about food. Although plants are the way to roll, there's a little bit more you can do with your mind as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Are you as obsessed as I am about the idea of changing your standards for your health? I mean, you certainly have standards in other areas of your life, right? Like you have movie standards, restaurant standards, hotel standards. So it seems kind of obvious to have care for yourself standards too. If I were to take anything else away from this chat with OSHA, it would be to count on your mindset to help you lose weight, not your calories. And of course, eat a butt ton of plants. For the show notes from this episode, plus so much more that makes eating more plants totally not suck, head to partyinmyplants.com/48.